The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 10 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Abigail Jersey, and here are today's headlines. Air Canada's response to its CEO learning French, addressing the low voter turnout, and is it too late to reverse climate change? Air Canada's president, Michael Rousseau, was addressed for his inability to speak French at a Montreal convention center. Chrystia Freeland sent him a letter demanding he learn French. We have Hannah Sabrin in the studio with more information. So Hannah, how did Rousseau attract this criticism?
Rousseau spoke with the press on November 4th. When the press asked him a question in French, he stumbled over his words and asked them to repeat it in English.
We do that in English because I want to make sure I understand your question before I respond to it.
In response, the reporters expressed confusion. They were surprised about the fact that Rousseau was unable to speak French.
How did he respond at that moment?
The Air Canada president defended himself. He said that he would like to learn French, but is too busy to do so.
If you're asking me about my French, but right now my priority is ensuring that Air Canada gets back to where they were.
Here, Rousseau refers to the problems that the airline company faced during the pandemic. Since 2019, Air Canada has suffered a financial collapse. This is because very few people have traveled due to COVID-19 and travel restrictions.
Air Canada is a crown corporation, so this means that they must abide by the Official Languages Act. Can you tell us more about this issue?
The Official Languages Act says that the crown corporations must serve customers in both French and English. The Quebec French language minister commented on the issue, and he said that Rousseau's attitude towards French was unacceptable. Later that day, Rousseau addressed these complaints. He explained that he did not intend to disrespect French Canadians with his comments. François Legault is another person who took offense. He believes it is embarrassing for someone to speak with reporters with French reporters without knowing French. So, in response to the complaints, Rousseau promised to learn French. And in a written statement, he says that Air Canada is committed to serving Canadians in either official language.
Thank you, Hannah. As businesses reopen, many have trouble finding workers. This is especially true for small businesses, despite the ongoing reopening and cuts to CERB benefits. In order to attract new employees and retain old ones, they have raised wages and benefits. Margaret Vidoviak has the story.
According to the study, 46% of businesses surveyed had trouble finding and retaining employees. However, there's hope, according to Caroline Domet, sales executive at ADP Canada.
Basically, small businesses were hit hard with the pandemic. But the good news that we found with what was happening with the survey that we conducted was that they're actually bouncing back.
Small businesses in the entertainment and restaurant industry have been particularly hit by staff shortages, according to Milena Stanoeva, manager of public affairs at the Canadian Federation of Independent Business.
You know, the sectors have been closed down for so long. Many of those workers have moved on to other jobs, and there aren't the same number of workers ready to replace them.
In order to fix staff shortages, many businesses have resorted to boosting salaries and benefits to attract new employees and retain old ones. According to the study, businesses are focusing on improving work-life balance and offering more flexible schedules.
50% of small business owners have started increasing and giving higher wages.
However, according to Stanova, it's not enough.
But unfortunately, many are reporting that even with higher wages, they're not getting the number of applicants they need.
Margaret Doviak and NDG for Concordia News.
500 HEMA Quebec workers are on strike for the second day in a row after 2.5 years of unsuccessful negotiations with their employer. The NGO that supplies blood to Quebec's hospitals made an offer last week to its employees that was deemed unreasonable by the union. We are joining Yannick Lepage live at the HEMA Quebec offices in Montreal, where workers are holding a picket line. So Yannick, salaries seem to be the main points of disagreement.
Yes, well, there are 5 CSN unions that represent 70% of HEMA Quebec workers. They're jointly asking for salary increases that are on par with the ones received by the healthcare workers, which are in the neighborhood of 2% for 2020 and 2021. According to the spokesperson for the union, Simon Poulin, Emma Québec agreed to these increases, but they don't want to retroactively increase the salary for 2019, which impacts the salaries for the following years. The workers' pension is also subject to debate between the two parties. Here's what Poulin had to say about the union's request.
There's a big problem for the salary in 2019. Also, the employer, they want us to give more money for the union pension.
And the union has made it a priority to not let the strike affect the essential operations of HEMA Québec?
Yes, well, workers are joining the picket line during their breaks and their off days. They say that the last thing they would want is to affect the supply of vital fluids for the hospitals across the province. HEMA Québec released a statement yesterday stating that all the donation clinics will remain open for the duration of the strike. They hope that it won't affect the service they're providing. But workers still want the space necessary to express their concern and to pressure their employers. Here's what Guillaume Michaud, an assistant lab technician at HEMA Québec, had to say.
It's important for us too to provide the service to the hospitals, but at the same time, we need to have the space to protest.
Both parties will meet again in the coming weeks. Is the union confident to reach an agreement?
The five unions are set to sit down with HEMA Québec on November 18 and 28. They also have two other negotiation meetings planned for December. If no agreement is reached until then, they intend to intensify the pressure applied by asking for a general strike.
Thank you, Yannick. A 44-year-old Longueuil man was arrested yesterday in connection to the sexual assault of minors. He was a running coach and a hiking instructor. An investigation was opened against him at the beginning of 2021, and yesterday police had enough evidence for an arrest. So far, police have received 3 complaints and urge anyone who thinks they were a victim to contact them. A 23-year-old man is in critical condition after being hit by a car in downtown Montreal. The collision happened while the man was crossing the street between Papineau and Maisonneuve last night. The 28-year-old driver was left with no injuries, and the victim's broken skateboard was left at the scene. Housing issues affect people all around Quebec. The issue was central to the municipal election debates. A forum from a social housing group started this morning to present the stories of affected tenants. The event aims to pressure the Quebec government to act in solving the crisis.
While many solutions are on the table to solve the housing crisis in Montreal, the municipality did not take concrete action to solve the problem. Lizo Ginesté, a community worker of the Southwest Papier Housing Committee, agrees with Valérie Plante's suggestion to create a landlord's registry. But he is skeptical that she will actually take action.
She makes a lot of promises but doesn't do anything actually.
For Ginesté, a solution to the crisis is to increase the number of social housing. He thinks the city has an important part to play in funding renovations of buildings that already exist.
The majority of social housing that needs to be renovated, and for now there are a lot of them are just closed, so nobody can live in there. But we have like 22,000 people waiting on the lease.
Frapprud, a housing organization, hosts a forum. Tenants from different Montreal neighborhoods present their testimonials. Catherine Boulay works from the Nouvelle Étape organism in Montreal, which welcomes women who need help with housing. Boulay talked about the different issues they're facing when trying to find housing for those women.
Quand on accompagne les femmes vers leur fin de séjour, il y a
When we accompany the woman who leaves the center, we meet a lot of challenges, which makes us feel helpless. Boulay also added that the right to housing is a fundamental right for all. Frapprud sees the housing crisis as a pressing issue which has to be addressed by the government. Véronique Morin for Concordia News.
This weekend's municipal elections saw a lower voter turnout than in 2017, with only 36% of eligible voters showing up to the polls compared to 42% in 2017. Sarah Dixon is here with Robert Frank. He explained why it's important for people to continue to go out to the polls and vote.
Well, it is vital to our entire society that the people who make the decisions about what our government does and how it spends our money relies on us being able to make those choices. It holds politicians to account, and without it, you don't have a democracy.
And can you speculate what or maybe the main causes for the low voter turnout? They were about 6% lower than the last municipal election. Can you speculate why that is?
The digital revolution has upended the business model of. And without that, without the ability to make an informed decision, people become rather cynical, or at least they believe that their individual vote will not make a difference.
A new term being tossed around, kind of the idea of, it's called election fatigue. I was wondering if you could kind of explain what that is or your thoughts on that.
We actually make it rather hard to become a political leader. If it becomes so personalized and so difficult, then you drive out the best and the brightest.
What do you think are some things that can be done to increase voter turnout?
We need a better informed public. Merely going out to cast a ballot is just the first step. You absolutely need to know what it is that you're voting for when you mark your X on that ballot.
That was Sarah Dixon speaking with political analyst Robert Frank. $5 million is going towards Indigenous students and their families. The Minister of Higher Education announced the money is for a new living environment on the Laval University campus in Quebec City. This is a third living project, and its purpose is to improve access to higher education for Indigenous communities. A new survey has come out explaining how Canadians are feeling about the COP26 summit. With goals to reduce the Earth's temperature and create a global carbon tax, Canadians are hoping that these measures will be implemented. Curtis Savage joins me in the studio. So Curtis, how are Quebecers feeling about climate change?
Yes, well, roughly 30% of Quebecers believe that there is no time to reverse climate change. The statistic leans on the higher side of provinces and territories throughout Canada. Similarly, citizens of Quebec have one of the lowest percentages throughout the nation of people without any worry about climate change.
How is Quebec feeling about some of the plans announced at COP26?
So basically, two-thirds of Canadians are in support for Canada's plan to stop exporting coal by 2030. And while 75% of Quebecers are also in support of this plan, most of the disapproval comes from the prairie provinces, including Manitoba, Saskatchewan, and Alberta. This morning, Minister of Environment and Climate Change Stephen Guilbeault restated Canada's support for High Ambition Coalition, which seeks to reduce the Earth's warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius.
It seems like there's a lot of cynicism towards Canada's involvement in the summit.
Yes, there has been a lot of criticism among Canadian citizens in recent years. Canada has one of the worst records for carbon emissions after the Paris Agreement in 2015. Even Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg made a note of saying that Prime Minister Trudeau was not doing enough in 2019. Robert Frank, a political analyst in Montreal, had this to say about the government officials representing Canada at the summit.
You have a Prime Minister of Canada who has invested billions of dollars in pipeline construction in Western Canada, saying likewise, and both of them flew their own private jets.
Canada's current plan has left citizens on the fence, as half believe that the government has taken great strides in order to combat climate change. I guess we'll see what other changes will happen before the summit ends on November 12th.
Thank you, Curtis. A potential new record holder for a disc award wins, a single from a beloved Montreal rock band, and a rapper will be paying for 8 funerals. Brianna Sherman is here to tell us more.
For this life I cannot change.
Travis Scott has agreed to pay for the funeral costs of the 8 people who died at his concert Friday night. The seemingly apologetic rapper has been known to encourage his fans to form mosh pits during his shows. Videos posted show a lack of concern from both Travis Scott himself and his security team during the chaos. Quebec singer Chloé Pelgag might break Celine Dion's A Disc record. She and her team won 11 awards at the first two ceremonies. If Pelgag wins Songwriter, Female Artist, and Francophone Online Show at the main gala on Sunday, she will hold the most wins of any artist.
I emerge and re-emerge.
That was Inuit performance artist Lakuluk Williamson-Bathory. She was awarded the Sobeys Art Award for 2021 and a prize of $100,000. This is Canada's top art award. Omar El Akkad is another Canadian artist who has just been recognized for his work. He won the Giller Award for his book, What Strange Paradise. Akkad was also awarded $100,000. That was just a sample of Simple Plan's new single, The Antidote. It's the first single released from their upcoming sixth album. It's all about having someone to turn to during hard times. The band recorded the song pre-pandemic, but feels its message is even more relevant now. Clifford, no, no fetch!
Oh no.
Clifford the Big Red Dog is coming to theaters tomorrow. This was originally a series of books first published in the 1960s, so Clifford fans, young and old, will watch Emily Elizabeth fall in love with a very big dog on a very big screen. That's it for arts.
Thank you, Brianna. Are you looking for a pair of used hockey gloves? Prepare to drop some serious cash. Someone has already bid $1,600 for a pair of Carey Price's used Goldie gloves. The auction is still taking place until November 14th, so if you're looking to add to your collection, there is still plenty of used, sweaty hockey equipment to place your bets on. Well, it's time to lose the winter jackets, at least until the end of the week. Temperatures are expected to be above the November average. This week, daytime highs are expected to stay between 5 and 11, while nighttime lows will drop to 3 degrees. It will be mostly sunny until Friday, and we can expect rain through the weekend. That's your news for 1131. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Abigail Jersey.